Perek. Let's go. Perek Gimel. Pasuk Tes Zayin in Shmuel Beis. Here we go. So we just talked about Palti ben Laish, and we talked about how he was in charge of Michal. We said she may have also been married to him in some way, shape, or form. We talked about that last week of what it was. And it says, Vayichli Ta'isha, her husband went with her, Haluch Uvocho Achareha, going and crying after, you know, behind her, Ad Bachurim, all the way until Bachurim, Vayomri Lav Abner, and Abner said to him, Lech Shov, it's time for you to go back, Vayashov, and he went back. So again, now if Palti is her husband, and Isha means her husband, and that's what it refers to over here, then the crying over here were tears of joy that he was able to hold himself back all those years, that he was able to help him with all those years that he was together with her. He never did something inappropriate, knowing that it really was David Melech's wife and not his own. That would be that. Of course, in the Pashup shot, it means he did marry her, and David is taking her away because he thought he was legitimately married to her, but he wasn't really, because the halacha was really like David, not like Shaul HaMelech, and that's why he was crying. But the other way to look at it over here is to once again say that no, he was crying because he loved her as a child. The way we understood it is this is not Bala, it's Isha, her man, meaning somebody who was taking care of her. So he felt bad that he no longer was going to be able to take care of her.
Yeah, but how does that reconcile? Maybe you discussed this last year. How does it reconcile with the actual way we read the
Pesukim that said, like, Pesukim over here say, Vayelchita Isha. It doesn't say Bala. It doesn't say her husband. It says, Ve'yikachamim Ish.
No, I'm talking about with David and Michal.
Like, David and Michal, no one argues they were married. There's no question about that. The question is whether they were divorced, whether she didn't know she was divorced, but David left her. We don't know exactly what happened at that point. But now we have everything over here. Okay. Pasuk Yud Zayin. Dvar Avner Hayim Ziknei Yisrael Lemor. So Avner, his words with all the elders of Israel. Remember, he was leaving Ishbosheth to join David HaMelech now. Lemor, and he said, Gantum Olgam Shal Shom, Ayisim Avakshim is David HaMelech Aleichem. Listen, you've always wanted David HaMelech to be king over you. Va'ata, Asuki Hashem Amar El David. Now it's time to do it. Because the Kadosh Baruch Hu said to David Lemor, Be'ad David Avdi Oshias Bnei Yisrael, I will save Bnei Yisrael from the hands of David my servant. Be'ad Plishtim Yaakov Leveim, from the hands of the Plishtim, from the hands of all their enemies. So it's time. It's time to get there. We had Ishbosheth. He was the king for a while. That was fulfilling a pasuk, as he paskined himself, but it's done. Vaydaber gam Avner ba'ozni Binyamin. Tiltu Avner spoke to the ears of Binyamin, the people of Binyamin. Yilak gam Avner l'daber ba'ozni David v'chevron. He also spoke in the ears of David and Chevron. His kosher tov v'eini Yisrael. Everything was good in the eyes of Bnei Yisrael. V'eini kol beis Binyamin, as well as the house of Binyamin as well. V'yavo Avner l'David Chevron. He came to Chevron. V'ito. Esther and Menashem, 20 men altogether. He asked David Avner and Menashem, sure he told Mishnah. He made a feast for all of them, celebrating the fact that Avner was now on his side. I'm going to get up and go. I'm going to gather to my master, the king, all of Bnei Yisrael. We'll make a bris with you. You'll be king over whatever you want. Then David HaMelech sent Avner away. He went in peace. I want to point out something over here. David does not say a word to Avner. You notice this, meaning what David said back to Avner of whether he agreed with this plan or not was contingent on not hurting Ishbosheth. David HaMelech was worried that Ishbosheth, who was currently the king over Israel, was going to be killed or murdered because of what was happening over here. So he purposely did not say a thing. He hoped, and I really think that this is part of the plan, that Avner was going to be able to convince Ishbosheth to come work for him. He said David would be in charge and Ishbosheth was there. And David was the type of person who could work with someone who was already the king and allow him to be there as well. I think that's part of the idea over here. But that was more of what he wanted of Ishbosheth over here. So too, when it says over here, Vayishalach David es Avner ve'elech l'shalom, it shows that he left in peace. The word b'shalom is always used when somebody unfortunately passes away. L'shalom is when it's good and nothing happens. But he was melavahim. Nobody thought that David HaMelech was responsible, subsequently responsible for Avner's death, because he walked out with him. He mamish walked away together with him, and therefore it was a positive thing, not a negative thing. Says Vinei, Avdi David Yoav Bami Agdud. So the servants of David, as well as Yoav, came back from war. Obviously, David HaMelech did not want Yoav in the palace at the same time that Avner came in. So he purposely made it that Avner came in and then Yoav came back. That was done purposely. Right? The Shalom Rav Imam, they had a lot of spoils with them, Heviyu, that they had brought. The Avner in Enuim David Bechavron. Avner was no longer with David and Chavron, Kishokha Yel Bechavron, because he had gone away. Right? So that's what happened over here. But news of the feast and the pact that David had made with Avner reached Yoav's ears, and Yoav was extremely upset. He was extremely jealous of what Avner had to do over here, and he couldn't understand it. Yoav called to Vasharito Bohu. Yoav and all the army came. And they told Yoav, saying, "Bal Avner ben Ner, al-melech v'yishalchav yilav b'shalom." Avner ben Ner came to the king, and he sent him away in peace, right? Now, he looked at this and said, what do you think Avner was here for? He could not believe it. Right, exact. He could not believe that Avner was in the palace and that David didn't take him prisoner. Why wouldn't you have taken him prisoner and put him away?
He could have killed him, right?
Because Masoil or Mori B'Malchus. Yeah, but in theory, Avner could claim, and I'm not, again, when you're Mori B'Malchus and the Melech, a Melech can do anything he wants, but he could claim, no, I was doing it because I'm fulfilling a pasuk, but I was always on your side eventually, but I'm fulfilling a pasuk.
David was like Melech and Mashiach, like, he was already anointed.
He was Meshuach with the Meshuach Mochama, but he felt that Shaul's anointment by Shmuel automatically included Ishbosheth. That was his shot in the Pasuk, that there had to be two kings from Binyamin. So it could be, again, he could give that as an excuse. Anyway, in Pasuk Chavdal, Yavo Yoav al Melech, Yoav came to the king by Yom, and he said, Ma'asisa, what did you do? Avner came to you. You sent him away. You let him go on his own. Yadatas Avner Benir. You know Avner Benir. He came to seduce you. He came to see where you come and go. He wanted to see all the comings and goings in the palace, as well as everything you did. You have to understand, you had made this pact with you. Why would you let him get away? What do you think he was doing? If Avner made a pact with you and decided to stay, then I totally understand it. Then it makes a ton of sense. But he didn't do that. He's doing it in order to trick you. He wants to know your battle plans. He wants to know your movements and what you do over here, your daily routine. Clearly, it's a trick. He tried to convince David of this. Yoav then left David, Yishlach Malachim Achrei Avner, and he sent messengers after Avner. He returned him from Boris Yira. David had no idea. It sounds like he sent it in the name of David Amalek. Like, oh, quickly, come back, Avner. I want to speak with you over here. Now, I do want to point out that Yoav's wording to David does not sound like a subject speaking to his king. You don't say, what did you do to the king, ever. You don't do that. When Yoav said that, there already was, again, a little bit of Merit B'Malchus. But Yoav was powerful, and David HaMelech knew that, and this was not the time for him to fight it.
But the intention, like, wasn't to be Merit either. It
was like, not necessarily. He was angry. He was really upset over here. Now, Bor Sira, that weird wording of the pit of Sirah, right? What exactly does that mean over here? So Chazal say the well refers to this flask of water that David HaMelech had stolen from Shaul HaMelech when he was able to get inside the camp. Avner was protecting him, and Avner fell asleep and allowed David to get in and steal the flask. The spear as well, but the spear was given back, but the flask was there. This was the punishment of Avner because he allowed his master to be almost, you know, at the behest of David HaMelech, killed by David HaMelech. Therefore, he was punished from this over here. That's the idea behind it. That's the concept that happens over here. Perhaps it's because Avner himself, at that thing, said, Shaul HaMelech, he's a liar. And the flask proved that David HaMelech was not a liar. Maybe that's what it refers to over here as well. But Yashav Avner Chavron, so Avner returned to Chavron, Yatel Yoav Otol Hashar. So Yoav took him to the side of the gate, the Lidabri Tol Basheli, to speak to him quietly. And he killed him there in the fifth rib, and he died for the blood of Asoel, his brother. Now, Basheli is interesting. The word Basheli, what exactly does it mean? The first explanation is surprise, suddenly, without him realizing it. The second one is deceiving, misleading him, as in Tashle, to knock him down. The third one is interesting. It converts that he did it bishalom. He wanted to talk to him about peace between them, and he completely fooled him when he came down over here. The Mitsuda said, he dropped something. I forgot something. Let me tell you what it is. And that's the idea of what Basheli is. And the final one is a weird one. It's from the Gemara itself. The Gemara says that Sheli refers to the shoes. Shal means to take off your shoes. Shal ne'alecha me'al reglecha, Moshe Rabbeinu was told. So Basheli means Yoav couldn't fool Avner. Avner was a massive genius and a huge, huge warrior. Yoav versus Avner, Yoav would lose. And he knew that. If it was a one-on-one fight, he's going to lose to Avner. He had to fool him. How did he fool him? He said to Avner, he said, you know, I've always had a shiloh. My shiloh was, how do you do chalitza? Chalitza, if you'll remember, is taking off the brother-in-law's shoe, right? And then spitting on the ground, right? If her husband dies, taking off the brother-in-law's shoe and then spitting on the ground right in front of the brother and saying the psukim, etc. How do you do chalitza if you don't have any arms? So Avner said, oh, you do it with your teeth. You untie the shoe with your teeth. The woman would have to do that with their teeth. So he said, how is that possible? So Avner got on the ground to show Yoav how you would do it. And as Avner was on the ground, Yoav took his sword and hit him in the fifth rib. Right? Avner would have retaliated, and this is exactly what happens. At that point, Avner tried to retaliate, but Yoav said, if we both die, there's no general in Klal Yisrael. Do you want to do that to Klal Yisrael? Avner said, you're right. And he died while Yoav was there. Chazal tell us that he actually took him to Beis Din, to Sanhedrin. And he went to Sanhedrin, and he said to Sanhedrin, he deserves to die because he killed my brother Asoel, and I am a Gol Adam. Said Avner, what do you mean? He was chasing after me to kill me. So he's a Rodef. Habal argecha, someone's coming to kill you. Hashkim Lar, you're allowed to get up and kill him first. So I killed him before he killed me. To which Yoav said, you shouldn't have killed him. You should have knocked off a leg or something so he wouldn't be able to chase after you. Said Avner, I couldn't aim like that. Said Yoav, you aimed for his fifth rib and you hit him in the fifth rib. If you could aim for the fifth rib, then you could have knocked off his leg. So he blamed him for it. And in the end, it seems that Avner, that is correct, that shouldn't have been that way. Others say that there were other reasons why he got punished, either because he allowed Nov Ira Kohanim to be destroyed. Others say because he did not give the proper respect for David Melech when he said, my hand is with you. He should have said something there. Others say because he supported Ish-Boshes and he delayed David Melech being in charge, or for being involved in the fight and allowing those kids to fight together, and that's that. So that's pretty crazy when it comes down to it. But in the end, it seems like Yoav was almost killed by Avner. After Avner was already stabbed in the fifth rib, meaning in the heart, he still almost died from it. No one argues, though. Yoav was wrong for taking things into his own hands. He should not have done it on his own. Pasukov chas, everybody. David Melech heard of it later on. He said, Noki anochi, umam lachtim im Hashem ad oilam midmei Avner bener. Me and my kingdom are always going to be innocent from HaKadosh Baruch Hu forever from the blood of Avner bener. There is no question whatsoever that happened. Now, if you'll notice the word mei achareichein, it seems there was a long delay before the events were brought to David Melech, because obviously Yoav and his army were there and they killed Avner. Yoav wouldn't let anybody go back and tell David Melech for a long time. So he wanted it to settle a little bit. Yoav was still the general. He was the official general. Killed. Yoav? No, Avner.
Oh, I'm sorry.
No, Avner was there. So Yoav allowed everybody sitting there and didn't let it be said for quite a while. That's the idea behind it over there. Okay. One would ask, why didn't David try to attempt to stop Yoav? The clearer answer is that he had no idea what Yoav was planning on doing. He had no idea. Had he known, he would have stopped Yoav. Maybe he would have even arrested Yoav, but he had absolutely no idea that he was going to try to kill him immediately when it came down to it. Why he didn't assume it, I don't know. Yachulu al-Rosh Yoav, it should all fall on the head of Yoav, El-Kol Beis Aviv, and his father's family. Obviously, his father's family includes himself, so he means all those who were involved. The Al-Yikaris Mivez Yoav, there should never be cut off from the house of Yoav a Zav. Zov is a person who has some type of disease that comes from that part of the body, a mitzora, tzoras. Machzik papelach, somebody who grabs onto a spindle. Apparently that's somebody who's either very, very poor or somebody who's very sickly and he can't do anything else. Nofol bakara, fallen by the sword, v'chaser lechem, and somebody who's very poor and needs bread, and that's the idea behind it. So the Barbanel speaks about how these five curses apply back to him. There's also the Me'amlois that go Mida Kenegamida. I don't know if we have to go into stuff like this. But what his main idea was is that he wanted to do the five features that a father passes on to his son is beauty, strength, long days, wisdom, and wealth. So he knocked out all five with these curses over here. However, you should know that when David HaMelech made this curse, it all applied on his own children. Because unfortunately, even though he was cursing Yoav for a very good reason, David HaMelech himself should never be cursing anybody. That should not have happened. So it happened to his own children. There were children of David, or grandchildren and great-grandchildren of David, that were affected by all five of these things. Never curse. You curse people, it ends up going right back upon you. Nothing good ever happens when you curse other people. That's one thing they have to do over here.
It's strange that he was quick to absolve himself from it.
David Melech?
Yeah.
But he knew, I did not want Avner hurt, and he had to make sure that the people knew about that, because otherwise you could have a civil war again where people are fighting because he just killed Avner. So he wanted to make sure everybody knew publicly, this was not me, this is Yoav. So why didn't he do anything to Yoav? So the question is whether he was able to or even willing to. That's really the question over here.
He couldn't. He wouldn't have had adrenaline. He would have been the same.
The problem was, right, did he have adrenaline? Now, he did have Avishai ben Tsruya, who was still around Yoav's brother, but perhaps Avishai also was involved in this, and that's the reason why Yoav was willing to do this, because Avishai was there as well. Some say that he officially put him in Shamta, which is a form of cherem, some form of excommunication, where he said, like, I can't let you be in charge for quite a while, and whatever happened, happened. We'll see later on, Yoav finds himself back into the good graces of David Melch. It takes a little bit, but that's what happened.
If the Medrash is right, that said he went to Yoav went to Basin and they paskin in his.
Oh, that could be. If it actually happened that way, there's nothing he could do.
Yeah,
very good. Very, very good. This, by the way, when it comes to that, Rechavam was a Zav, Uziyahu had Saras, Asa needed a crutch, Yoshia was killed by the sword, well, technically by an arrow, and Yechonia had a lack of bread. Yechonia was put into Gullus. Those are the five children they had. The Yoav, Babi, well, grand, you know, great-great-grandchildren, whatever, descendants. The Yoav and Avishai, Achiv, Horgla Avner, Yoav and his brother Avishai killed Avner, Alashar Hamas as Saul Achim, because he killed Asol, their brother, Begivon, Bemochama, in Givon, during the war itself. Okay, so that was a problem. It was war. And once you have war, you know, it's hard to stay away from people. It did happen. It says, Vayomer David el Yoav. And David HaMelech said to Yoav, Vokol HaMashrei to all the people that were with him, Kiru Bigdeichem, you also have to tear your clothing. Yoav, you who killed Avner, you have to tear Kriya. V'chigru Sakim will wear sackcloth, V'siptul Fnei Avner, V'amelech David Holech HaKorei Amita, and make a hesped in front of Avner. Can you imagine killing the guy and then having to give a hesped at the man's funeral? David HaMelech walked behind the coffin. Normally a king is not allowed to walk behind a coffin, and also that was normally where the women went. He did it on purpose so everyone would see, right, that nothing else was on his mind. He was not trying to do anything to hurt Avner. It says in Pasuk Lamed Beis, guys, Vayipur was Avner v'Chevron. They buried Avner in Chevron, but Yisrael Melech has kol v'Yevk al kever Avner v'Yivku kol ha'am. So the king lifted up his voice and he cried by the kever of Avner, and all of the people cried as well when they heard this right over here. Now this is not the tomb of Maris Machpelah. It may have been in Hebron, and it still is in Hebron. There is a kever of Avner right outside of Hebron, but it was not in Maris Machpelah as well. This was a special tomb that they put outside for someone who was murdered. Not only that, but in this tomb, later on we'll see, Ish-Boshes's head was put inside there as well. All those that were not sentenced to death by Sanhedrin, right, they were buried in this area, right, where they had to be killed or whatever it is. It says, Lamed Gimel, Vayikonin HaMelech al Avner, the king made a dirge, made a song for Avner. Vayomer, and he said, HaKamoz Navol Yomos Avner, did you have to die like an abominable person? Yadecha lo asuros, your hands were not tied, Bragdecha lo nechushtayim hugashu, your legs were not put into chains. I didn't chain you up. Kinfol lifnei b'nei Avlan afaltu, you fell like in front of your enemies. Rive Yosifakola Amlivkosa love, and all the people continued to be able to cry over here. David HaMelech was intending to publicize the treachery of Yoav. Avner did not have his hands or feet because he fell over. How in the world could that happen over here? Yeah.
What about Vayishma David Meacharechain? Like, what's the timeline here? This body would have been like rotting, or it should have been in the.
I don't think it was that long, but it wasn't, meaning it would have been a day or two, but it wasn't a long time. And if Yoav didn't tell anybody about the body, he may have kept the body outside rotting for a few days before telling anybody that it happened. That is definitely possible, especially if they brought the body to Hebron. I don't know how far away he was in this area called Be'er, whatever it is, right? Be'er, we have no idea where that is.
No, he was in Hebron, by the gate. That's where it happened.
Well, he brought him back. He sent a message to bring him back. Oh, so you're right. So it would probably be, you're right. He was originally Be'er Sira. Right, so he was able. So he did bring him back. Yeah, that makes sense. Okay, it says, we have a call Am Lahavos David. All the people came to give David some bread to eat, right? Lechem. But Odayom, while it was still day. Vayishava David Lemor. David swore, saying, Koyas Lelokim, Koyosiv, may God do this to me and add on, Kim Lifnim, Boaz Shemesh, Et Am Lechem, O Kom Uma. Right. I should not taste any bread for the rest of the day, anything at all. I should fast until the very end. So it seems like maybe he was trying to publicly show everybody that he was mourning. Chazal say that he actually was in anguish and he couldn't bear to eat. He was upset that Avner had to be destroyed. Now, I will tell you that in this pasuk, Lahavros is written over here. In Divrei Yom, in other texts, like old texts, it says Lahachros. The reason why is because originally they wanted to cut down David HaMelech to give him kares for killing Avner, but when they saw that David HaMelech was crying so much, they came to be Mavrehim. They came to give him food instead. They were appeased and they realized that David was not involved. Pasuk Lamed Vav B'chol Ami Kiru, all the people recognized Ve'itah B'neim Kol HaShar Asa HaMelech Ve'ene Kol Am Tov, right? They saw everything the king did in the eyes of the people was good. Ve'yidu Kol Amin, all the people knew. Ve'chol Yisrael and all B'nei Yisrael B'yamahu Kilo Yisrael B'yamelech Lo Amin Sazavner V'ner. It wasn't from the king started to kill Avner ben Ner. So as we said over here, there were four things that David HaMelech had done to convince everybody this. Number one, he cursed Yoav. Afterward, he followed behind the kever. Number three, he wept at the tomb. Number four, he swore not to eat that entire day. Those four things definitely helped them understand it. Then HaMelech loved them, and the king said to his servants, Halo Tedu, you should know, Kisar v'gadol nafal ayom hazeh, that a great officer and a great man fell on this day, be Yisrael, in B'nai Yisrael itself. Right? Avner's loss was felt immediately. As we say, Vayetzi Yaakov mi Be'er Sheva v'yelech harana, that when you leave, a tzaddik leaves a place, it leaves an impression, there's an impression that happens. Avner's death, said David HaMelech, was felt throughout the land. V'anochi ayom racham ashuach melech. I am today weak. I'm only appointed king recently. The men, the children of Tsruya, my sister, are harsher than me. May God do it instead. I can't do it. I can't do anything now because I'm today only weak. I need Yoav and I need Avishai to be able to help me make myself as king itself. But eventually, may HaKadosh Baruch Hu do something instead of what happens over here. Perhaps the line that he said over here was that, who's going to fight against the Plishtim? Today I'm weak because I'm worried about what's going to happen. If I take down the B'nai Tzruya, I'm not going to have somebody to fight against the Plishtim, and I don't know what to do. I can't go because I'm still the king. I still have to lead the people. Who's going to be instead of me? And that's what he was worried about. He said, what's going to be in such a case if this would end up happening? Okay, Chazal say that normally it is usher to ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu to punish someone who's wronged you. Let's say you have somebody, like, I don't know, a guy cuts you off in traffic, you know, and he's just like, oh my God, I hope God kills that guy. That is the worst thing in the world to say. Putting your dinim by HaKadosh Baruch Hu and say, Hashem, you should take care of this for me. You know what the result is? The result is HaKadosh Baruch Hu looks at you and says, did you deserve to be, you know, to be cursing other people? Have you done everything right, or have you done anything wrong? And if you deserve it, awesome. And if you don't deserve it, guess what? You're the one who's blamed, and you're the one who's punished. So don't get involved in doing stuff like that. But over here, the reason why David HaMelech did this is because, simply put, he couldn't judge this case. He knew that Yoav had way too much power. He didn't know what to do in this case. He said, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, judge Yoav yourself. You make sure that something happens over here. That's the idea. And also, there's no Edom, there's no Asra. It's Morid B'Malchus, maybe. That's the reason why David HaMelech said, I can't do anything over here. And that's that. That's how the Avraham Avinu puts it. Perek Dalet, everybody. Vayishma ben Shaul Kimesaf. Now you look at this, right? Ish-Boshes is known as the son of Shaul HaMelech, right? Why is he not known as Ish-Boshes? I mean, he was Ish-Boshes. The answer is, now he no longer considered himself his own person. He's only king because he's the son of Shaul, nothing more than that. He heard that Mes Avner Bechavr, that he died in Chavr Yipu Yadav, and he felt very weak. Chol Yisrael Nevalu, and all the people were worried. What were they worried about? What were the people worried about? The people worried about who? About David HaMelech? Maybe David HaMelech had killed Avner? Even if he did, I mean, was that really going to happen? Maybe the Plishtim, right? Because the Plishtim would come up against them. The Mitzudas David says the people were worried. Who is this guy, Yoav? Like, up until now, we didn't know who Yoav was, but apparently he's able to do things on his own and David won't punish him. How do we know that's not going to happen again? Maybe they're all murderers. Maybe they're going to come after us. That's what they were scared of. That's what they're absolutely scared of. Chazal also learned from over here that because he called himself the Ben Shaul, Ish-Boshes was a tremendous unav, and wanted a life of anonymity. He didn't want to be known as somebody. He was thrust into the spotlight when his three older brothers died and his father died, and Avner said to him, you're the next king of Klal Yisrael. But this is never what he wanted. Right? There were two men, captains of their troops, that were with the son of Shaul. One was Bana, one was Rechav. B'nei Rimon HaBe'erosi, they were the sons of Rimon the Be'erosite. M'b'nei Binyamin, from Binyamin. Even Be'eros at that time was reckoned as part of Binyamin itself. They were captains. They were trusted for their loyalty. They were friends with Ish-Boshes. They were from Binyamin. Nevertheless, because of what happened, they were ungrateful. They were ungrateful and thought maybe they could make it with David HaMelech if they do something now to their master friend and relative Ishbosheth. That's what happened over here, what happened right now. Vayivruchu ha-beirosim gitoima. Those beirosim had escaped to Gitom. Vayusham garim ad-yom hazeh. They were living there until this very day. The Radak says, when it says beirosim, it doesn't mean everybody there. It was only these two that escaped right over here. Now, what happened over here? It could be they had already murdered one of Shaul HaMelech's other descendants, right? And therefore, they had to take refuge in Gitayim to get away because Ishbosheth said, now I'm going to get you. I'm going to do that over there. It could be they fled when Shaul was overtaken by the Plishim and they said, we got to get out of here right now, right? We have to get out of here as soon as possible to get around there. It could be they fled after Avner's death. They were worried about what was going to happen. They no longer felt secure in the city of Beirosayim, so they went as quickly as they could. Or it could be that they left much, much earlier, right? Intending to join Avner when he went over to David's forces. After hearing he had been killed, they said, we have no choice. Let's kill Ishbosheth and bring his head to David. Yehonasan ben Shaul ben Nechei Reglaim. Yehonasan ben Shaul had a child that was lame. He was 5 years old when the news came that Shaul and Yehonasan were from Israel. But Seol Manto and his nursemaid picked him up, Batanos, and she fled. When she ran to bring him away, the son fell. And he became lame. Ushmo Mephibosheth. This child is Mephibosheth. Now, there is no question Mephibosheth was a very chashuv person. He was the last of the children to be born to Shaul HaMelech. Really, it's technically to Yehonasan. Other than the concubine children, which we'll talk about later on. There was nobody else left from Shaul HaMelech that were ready to become king aside from him. Okay, so he's the one that's right over here. Mephibosheth was a tremendous Talmud Chacham. He had children himself and many children. Those children lived on. So Shaul HaMelech still lives today through Mephibosheth. He's the one that survived, but he was ineligible for the throne. Why was he ineligible for the throne? He was lame. And you can't have a lame person be the king of everything. You know, I was thinking of like FDR. You know, the FDR had polio, so he was stuck to a wheelchair his whole life. But no one wanted to think that he was weak. So they never showed a picture of him standing. They always showed him while sitting in a chair, thinking that that was the norm. Nobody knew that he had that problem over there. Either way, regardless, this explains why Bana and Rechav weren't afraid to murder Ishbosheth, and that's why this is brought over here. There was another descendant of Shaul HaMelech's house, but they weren't afraid he was going to take over the throne. Once Ishbosheth is gone, Mephibosheth will never take over. There's nothing to worry about, and that's why they were content with killing Ishbosheth, but they left Mephibosheth alive. That's why this is mentioned right over here, right? It seems obvious over here. It could be that maybe the biggest bracha that Mephibosheth had is that he was dropped and made lame. If he wasn't lame, then Bana and Rechav would have killed him as well. Since he was lame, he obviously did not get killed. It could be that's the idea behind it. It could also be that it's a continuation that Mephibosheth's nursemaid was so petrified when the Beirosim were running away. When the Beirosim were running away, that's when Mephibosheth's nursemaid ran away and dropped him on the ground and caused him to be crippled. Right now, it seems like he is 12 years old. 5 when he was dropped. When his father died, his father and his grandfather died. 12 at this point, so he's only 12 years old. Not that much time whatsoever. It says in Pasuk Hey, they came in the middle of the day, all base Ishbosheth to the house of Ishbosheth, and the king was sleeping in the middle of the day. Number one, he was napping. He was unable to defend himself, but that also is a little bit strange. What king sleeps in the middle of the day? What king does that? What king has the time to sleep in the middle of the day? It showed Ishbosheth was not your typical king. He never was, never wanted to be. Vine boa tochabais, they came into the middle of the house, lo chichitim, together with these buyers of wheat. So they fooled everyone into thinking they were just regular merchants. Vayakuel achomesh, they killed him by sticking him in the fifth rib. It's crazy, that fifth rib, right? But Rechav uvana achiv nimlatu, and Rechav and Bana, his brother, escaped. The fact that it says Rechav and Bana, his brother, shows that Rechav is the one that killed him, and Bana was with him the entire time. Okay? Vayavo abayis, they came to the house, v'ushokav v'mitaso b'chadar. He was lying in his bed, in that room, yishkavov, in his bedroom. Vayakuv v'misu, they hit him, and they killed him. Vayasiris rosha, and they removed his head. They took the head, and they traveled through the Arava the entire night over here. It's really crazy they were able to do it over here. So some say that the members of the household were really busy with their purchases, and therefore they were able to get into the chamber while those people were dealing with it over here. However, others say it was in the middle of the day, so it was easy for Bana and Rechav to enter without anybody noticing. They found the manager in charge of the wheat sales, who took them to the warehouses that were not far from Ishbosheth's place of sleeping. While the manager was weighing the wheat, they killed him and came right back to go get their wheat, or to go get their money from what happened over there. That's what happened over here. So it's crazy what they were willing to do. They came out of the house with like a bloodied head inside a sack or something, and they're just like, you still want your money for the wheat? They're like, no, we're good. Keep it. We'll go after that. It's absolutely unbelievable. Now, there were ideas that Ban and Rechav originally wanted to ask Ishbosheth if they could be the new commanders of his army. If Abner's dead, let us be instead. But they were worried once they saw Ishbosheth and that Ishbosheth was weak. He's napping in the middle of the day. They said, no, this is not the person to be with. So to ensure their escape, they had to kill him before they went off and did something else entirely. That's the idea behind it. Some say that they had entered the house of a wheat merchant and killed him there. They were fleeing and found Ishbosheth, killed him. They were just filled with murder that day. They were unbelievably filled with murder, and that's that. Okay, Chazal say that this is really a sad, sick story. They killed Ishbosheth while he's lying in a bed. They didn't have respect for the king while he's lying in a bed. Now, Ishbosheth was a tzaddik. He never did anything wrong, but that's what happened. They did that while this is going on. They brought the head of Ishbosheth to David and Chavron. They said to the king, this is the head of Ishbosheth, the son of Shaul, your enemy, who wanted your soul. May God place vengeance upon all of Shaul and his children from what happened over here. Now, the question is, what were they thinking? Did they not know what happened with the Gera Maliki when the Gera Maliki said that I killed Shaul for you? Did they not know that David Melch was going to be ticked off if they came in holding Ishbosheth's head? And the simple answer is, no. They mamish had no idea. They didn't know what had happened before. They didn't ask any questions. They had no clue whatsoever. They also hoped that because of their experience being in the army of Ishbosheth, maybe they would be able to look at everything else in a good way. Maybe they were supposed to. Maybe they could get around it when they brought it out over here. Maybe that could happen over there. Either way, they were certain of winning his favor. They knew that David Melech was anointed. They knew that Shaul Melech technically wasn't. So they thought that this is the right thing to do, right? So they said, Ishbosheth, the son of your enemy, was just killed, right? And that's that. So that's what they ended up doing over here.
Why would they think David Melech would trust him if he just turned on their king? They just turned on their own king.
Now, you're right. That would be a silly thing to think without any background information. But the background information would be that over here, because they knew that Ban and Rechav knew that Ishbosheth took over the kingdom, obviously it ticked off David HaMelech. Maybe they didn't know that David wasn't involved in the death of Abner. Maybe they thought he was involved in the death of Abner. Yeah, they thought this will probably be the easiest.
Weren't those two, that's his king, they're the king, right?
Who?
Rechav and
Bano. Bano and Rechav? No, they're not kings. They're just from
Yishev and Yemen. Ishbosheth was their king.
Oh, yeah.
Right. So, yeah, I'm sure they pleaded with David Melech because they wanted to serve him now.
Yeah, I get it. And they wanted to say something right over there. There's no question.
Right.
Yeah. It's just a weird thing to do when you know that David Melech was not happy with Abner being killed or Ishbosheth or Shaul Melech, but... No. It says in Pasuk Tes, Vayan David is Rechav as Banachi, B'nai Rimon HaBeiros. He said to them, Chaya Hashem Asher Podal Tashim Mikol Tzara, by the life of God who has saved me from all the pain I've been through. Ki Amagid Li Lemor, somebody who told me saying, Hinei Meis Shol, that Shol is dead, V'u Yekim Vassar Be'inav, he thought he was telling me good news in his eyes, V'oksa V'obar Geyu, and I grabbed him and I killed him B'tziklag and Tziklag, Shol Siti Lo B'Soyra, because he gave me that bad news. Afki Anashim Rishayim, Horgo is each Tzadik B'Beso, and now you Rishayim, killed a tzaddik in his house, Al Mishkav, when he was sleeping in his bed. Vatalo Avakish is Dom Yedcham. Didn't you think I was going to try to kill him from you or take away his blood from you? Viarti has come to Aretz, try to obliterate you from the earth. What were you thinking? Why would you have done this over here? Now, again, he looked at the following. He said, by the Gera Maliki, I don't even know if he was telling the truth, right? I don't know if he was lying or not about killing Shaul HaMelech. And I still killed him. I still went through. Kal v'chomer ashikol banan rechav, who are claiming with their own eyes and are holding the head of Ishbosheth, and I know they killed Ishbosheth. Kal v'chomer I should kill you guys. What in the world is wrong with you over there? Shaul had already been decreed that he was going to die. Shaul, we knew he was going to die. That wasn't Akasha. You guys, there's Ish-bosheth was not a life that was living in danger. He was so at peace, he was willing to take a nap in the middle of the day. He wasn't worried about anything. How dare you have done such a thing? That's what he looked at them. He said, how could that be over here? Now, by saying Ish-bosheth was a tzaddik, David was not exaggerating. Ish-bosheth was a tzaddik. He was humble. He was reserved. He shied away from battle. He didn't want to fight whatsoever. And he did everything wholeheartedly. He even gave musr to Avner about Avner being together with possibly Ritzbah Bas Aiah. Who in the world would do that? The only reason why you're king, Ish-bosheth, is because Avner allows you to be king. And he goes up to Ish-bosheth and he says, are you being together with my father's concubine? How could you do that? And Avner immediately looks at him and is like, you're accusing me of what? Do you hear that? Ish-bosheth was not a man who bowed to anyone. And if he thought somebody was doing something wrong, he'd say it. This is a tzaddik. I can't believe you just killed him. It says in Pasuk Yud-Beis, Vayitzav David as an Aram, he commanded his youths, Vayargum, and they killed him, Vayikatsu Hatzidim Vayisraglayim, and then he cut off their hands and their legs, Vayisu al-Abrecha, and he hung them all over the pool, Bechavron, in Chavron, that's Rosh Ish-bosheth Lakahu, and then he went ahead and took Ish-bosheth, and he took Ish-bosheth, and the head of Ish-bosheth, they took Vayikbru bekever Avner bechavron, and they buried him, right, in the kever of Avner in Chavron itself, right, in the kever of Avner in Chavron. So David was able to finally do Morid v'Malchus, you know, and take care of these guys right over here. He purposely gave them a terrible death, so that if anybody else was scheming against the house of Shaul, they'll stop. No one is killing anyone else from the house of Shaul, and that may have saved Mephibosheth's life, and it definitely saved the other children of Shaul HaMelech that we haven't met yet, the children of Ritzbah Bas Aiah. There's no question whatsoever. Now, for killing Ish-bosheth, they were killed. For raising their hands against the monarchy, he cut off their hands. For running to do evil, he cut off their feet. For cutting off Ish-bosheth's head, he hung them to show everybody what they had done. That was all midah keneged midah. And again, the Malbim says, all of this is usher. You can't hang a body up and not take it down by nightfall. David HaMelech hung this body up for days. He allowed it to stay up there for days. Why was that okay to do? Again, if the king wants it, then it's allowed to do. If the king says, this is what we need to do to show everybody, then you are allowed to do it. I'm not positive why the head, right, was separated from the body of Ish-bosheth and buried in Chavron. I don't know why that happened, why they didn't put the two things together. Why didn't they put the head by the body or the body by the head itself? I don't even know what the point of such a thing is. It seems that the head was filled with so much Torah knowledge, it was laid to rest right by the man who supported it, by Avner himself. But it is very strange that they didn't find his body and put the body with the rest of the head. Unless they had already, these two, Bana and Rechav, had buried the body already and they didn't want to dig up the body to put it with the head. But I don't have a great answer for that. I don't know why they did that. It seems very, very strange. Parakeh. Vayavol kol shvat Yisrael David Chavrona. So all the Shvatim came to David and Chavron. Vayomer leimor, and they said, saying, Hinu atzmecha v'sorcha anachnu. Here we are, we're your bones and we're your flesh over here. Up until now, right, you've never seeked the throne. You never went out to us. Even after Ish-bosheth is killed, you didn't come to us. We're coming to you. We're willing to come to you. We want you to be in charge of us right over here. A total of 300,000 warriors came to David Melech and said, we want you to be our king. Gamas mol gam shol shom bios shol melech aleinu. Even before, when Shalom Melech was still our king, ato yisa hamotzi v'amevi Yisrael. You're the one who took us out to war and won all these battles. V'yom Hashem lecha atosir es ami. Hashem said to you that you should shepherd my nation as Yisrael. And therefore, you should be the prince over Bnei Yisrael. You are a leader then, says Yabarbanel. You are a leader now. You brought us back safe and sound from any war that we had, says Yalkashimoni. And therefore, you are desirable as the person that should be our king. Pasuk Gimel, Vayavol kol zikni Yisrael al melech Chavrona. And all the elders of Bnei Yisrael came to the king in Chavron. Right? David HaMelech made a bris with them in Chavron, in front of Hashem, and they anointed David as the king over Bnei Yisrael. That's what they did over here, which means this is the third time that David HaMelech was anointed as king. He was anointed as king by Shmuel HaNavi. He was anointed in Chavron when finally, you know, when Shaul was killed. And now he's anointed over all of Bnei Yisrael. He made a treaty. with everybody. They made a treaty with David that he shouldn't kill anybody else in Ish-bosheth's house. To which he said, I am not going to kill anybody in Ish-bosheth's house, 100%. He made a deal with them that nobody would harm his family and they wouldn't come after him for anything that happened over there. Now, when it says that all the tribes came, everybody sent a representative. I can't imagine that there were hundreds of thousands of people that came to David Melech right now. That's probably not what happened over there. However, in Divrei Yamim Aleph, it says that they spent 3 days feasting with David HaMelech, and it was many, many, many people that came over here. It's just hard for me to understand, because David HaMelech was not wealthy yet. I don't know where they would have had the money to be able to put together this party to make it happen right over here. But either way, but that's what happens. Ben Shloshim Shana David HaMelech. David HaMelech was 30 years old in his reign. Arbayim Shana Malach, and he was king for 40 years. Bechavar Malach HaYudah Shava Shana Shisha Chadashim. And Chavar, he was king for 7 years and 6 months. Bishlaim Malach Shloshim Shloshim Shana Al Kol Yisrov Yehuda. And Yerushalayim, he was king for 33 years and all Bnei Yisrael and Yehuda itself. Now the question is, really, what 6 months? He was only king for 40 years. But if you count that up, it's 7.5 years and 33 years. That's 40 and a half years. So why not count the other half? Some say, right, he had a 6-month exile during Avshalom, when Avshalom had taken over the kingdom. 6-month exile when he was 68 years old. We don't count those 6 months. In Yerushalayim, he was only there for 32 and a half, not 33. That's how the Abarbanel looks at it. So in Yerushalayim, he was actually only king for 32 and a half. Even though they made him king 33, he didn't go to Yerushalayim until 32 and a half, right? Or, Radak says, it's rounded off. Yeah, it's 7, you know, altogether it's 40. Vayelech HaMelech Anashim Yerushalayim El Yevusi. The king and all of his men went to Yerushalayim to the Yevusim, Yosheva Aretz, who lived in that land, Vayomer LeDavid Lemor, and he said to David, saying, this refers to the Plishtim, the Yevusim, Lo Savoheni, you can't come here. Ki Masircha Avirim Ha'ivrim Vapischim. You'd have to remove the blind and the lame. Lamor lo yadavid hena, because those statues, the ones that are blind and lame, right, they say David HaMelech can't come here. Now, we've already seen, Yerushalayim was captured by the Jews. The Jews captured in Yoshua and in the beginning of Shoftim. There's no question we had Yerushalayim, but there are two parts to Yerushalayim. The part of Yerushalayim that we captured was a Jewish city. There was another part of Yerushalayim that was Yavusi city. That part had never been captured completely because Yavusim were not Ovdei Avodah Zarah. They did not do Avodah Zarah, and therefore, they allowed them to stay and to pay taxes. The Radak says that David's initial concern was referring to a tradition, a Mesorah that they had, that Tzion was going to be the seat of his throne. He had already darshaned that together with Shmuel HaNavi. He knew that the Beis HaMikdash was going to be in Har Moriah. So now he said, the first thing I want to do is take over Yerushalayim. That's why he went for it immediately more than anything else. That's the idea behind it. Now, it could be, I'll find it a little bit strange. The Yavusim were claiming, this is what they were claiming, that really David HaMelech, that David HaMelech's great-great-great-grandfather, Avram Avinu, had made a deal with our great-great-great-grandfather, Avimelech, not to touch us. We won't kill you, you won't kill us. So first of all, that promise was made for Avram, Yitzhak, and Yaakov, and the Plishtim, that they wouldn't hurt each other, okay? Even so, Avimelech and his men took all the wells that Yitzhak had made and filled them up with dirt. So it's not exactly true. The Plishtim also killed 30,000 Jews from Bnei Ephraim who left Mitzrayim a little bit early. They killed 30,000 of them. So without a question, the Plishtim had gone against their word. But it's weird because these guys are known as Yevusim and they're living in Yerushalayim. The Plishtim lived in where we know today is the Gaza Strip. They didn't live in Yerushalayim. So Chazal tells us from the Mitzudas David, these were Plishtim who lived among the Yavusim. So they moved to Yerushalayim. They were descendants of Avimelech. They remembered the deal that Avimelech had made with Avram, and they said, Jews, you cannot kill us. You cannot kill us. And it could be that Avimelech even sent people to Yerushalayim and said, I want my kids to live there so that the Jews can never take over all of Eretz Yisrael. They'll never take over all of Yerushalayim. And that's why he kept making all the Avos make deals with them so that wouldn't happen right over here. Now, we'll see. That's still not going to be enough. Okay? By Yoko David is Mitsuda Sion, here David. David Amalek then captured Mitsuda Sion, the fortress of Sion, which is now known as Ir David. That was one side of the city, but that was already pretty Jewish. That was an area that he later called Ir David. That city was pretty much already Jewish. Anybody who's able to destroy the Yavusi and grab onto the pipes, that's a piece of Mitzvah Ibram, as well as the lame and the blind, which I'll talk about in a second, Snue Nefesh David, which are despised by the soul of David Amalek, which is why they say the blind and the lame should not come into the house. It refers to these statues. Anybody who does that over here, I will reward them greatly. Okay, so that's what it says over here. The first to be able to do it. Chazal tell us that the first one to be able to defeat the city of Yavusi was Yoav. Yoav went in. He needed to regain the graces of the king. So the first thing he did is he went and he was in charge, and he was the one who won back the honor and the respect by he lost by murdering Avner. He now got back a little bit of it to be able to make sure that he got something back right over there. What did Yoav do exactly? How did he fight it? He brought a fresh cypress tree, you know, like a, you know, one of those trees that never lose their leaves all year long, stuck it in the ground alongside the wall of the city, climbed the tree, hoisted himself over the wall. David HaMelech davened to Hashem and said, let me join the attack. And the wall lowered, said David HaMelech could just walk in. Or David HaMelech went through an aqueduct system. You know what the aqueduct system is, right? The pipes went underneath. Exactly. And he's able to cut off the water supply, and that's what it means by tsinor. Either way, that's the idea behind it. So they were able to do it. Some say that the seven images over here, these Pischim and Ivrim, were seven images for the seven sheep that Avram gave to David HaMelech over here. Others say that no, the blind and the lame refer to Yitzchak and Yaakov. Yitzchak was blind. Yaakov limped on his leg and he was lame.
Yeah, but he was blind towards not the entire life.
They're referring to Yitzchak when they have a blind statue. They refer to Yaakov when it's a lame statue. Yaakov was lame when he got hit by the Malach. They purposely did it to show you guys are nothing and you still
lame.
Can't
he
fight
was,
us.
He was one leg. He was limping. It wasn't lame.
Not back lame then. Totally.
Right.
But he's never going to be healed again. I mean, HaKadosh Baruch Hu healed him by Yaakov Shalem. But what he thought is he's never going to be healed again. The Plishim took that and made two statues of it to remind the Jews that they couldn't fight them. That's the idea behind it. And you should know there's a little bit more over here. Now, Barbanel says they assumed that it could be protected, that this city could be protected, even if we were all blind and lame. Pretty good, right? Chazal say also, the Yavusim put the blind and the lame at the front of the fortress. Why'd they do that? Said the Jews would feel too bad to fight. Like the Arabs, you know, put like the little children in front of them so that they don't get hurt, right? That's the idea behind it. Number three, all idols are blind and lame. So that's what it refers to. It refers to idols completely. Number four, the Ralbag says the coolest thing in the world. You want to hear the coolest thing in the world? It's absolutely cool. There were huge swinging clubs that went in front that they had a system where if you tried to get into the city, these swinging clubs would come by and kill you so you couldn't get into the city itself. So they swung these huge stones back and forth and nobody could get in. Finally, Yoav was able to get himself in. Isn't that a cool one? You ever heard that one before? It's absolutely awesome. They called them blind and lame. That's what they called them. Those are the two stones. The Beis Yaakov says, that's a sefer on Navi, blind and lame are the people who are weak and succumb to peer pressure. David is unwavering in his loyalty to everything they do. We'll do one more positive. David ben Tzuda. David lived in that fortress. Vayikolai Ir David, and he called it Ir David. Vayiven David Savim in Milova Vaisa. He built round and round the citadel, this large area that the people were going to be able to use. Right? That's the idea behind it. Some say he built a trench outside of Yerushalayim and they made a fortified wall to make sure no one would ever be able to break into Yerushalayim itself. Others say this was the foundation for the future of the Beis HaMikdash. That he built the trench, he tried digging in to be able to make sure that everything was there. Chazal tell us a really crazy thing, that when he was building that Shisim, he was digging up parts of the ground and all of a sudden he pulled out a certain part, a rock. The rock said to him as he was about to pull it out, don't pull me out, I'm holding down the depths of the earth. If you pull me out, the whole world will drown. And he's like, yeah. So he pulled it out and started to drown. David HaMelech said to everybody, who can tell me how to stop the waters from drowning the world? Everybody was silent. He said, whoever can't tell me will be, if they don't tell me, they're going to die a horrible death. So Achitofel, remember Achitofel, the chief advisor of David, got up and said, if you put Hashem's name on a rock and you put it inside there, it's mutter, you don't have to worry about it being erased. If Hashem allows his name to be erased for Sota, then certainly he'll allow it for this. He did it, put it down there, the water stopped, and that rock still remains there today. That's what it is. So we'll stop right there, guys. We're on Pusik. Yud. We're in Perakeh, Pasuk Yud. Shkayach, everybody.